the night is lighter than it's you would lead me to believe. Which leads me to believe you make everything glorious. You make everything glorious. You make everything glorious, and I am yours. What does that make me? My eyes are small, but they have seen the beauty of enormous things, which leads me to believe there's light enough to see that you make everything.
Thank you.
spirit. My heart is heavy and I don't know why. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. My heart is heavy and I don't know why. But I'm thankful that you love me. And I'm thankful my soul is saved. And I'm thankful for all those you've given me to love. And I will love them so. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. My heart is heavy and I don't know why. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. My heart is heavy and I don't know why. Though your blessings, they rain on me. Your mercy, I don't deserve. Your glory, shining light on me, bringing me to paradise, bringing me to you. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. My heart is heavy and I don't know why. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. My heart is heavy and I don't know why. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. Fill me, fill me. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. Fill me, fill me, fill me.
This morning we're continuing our series, Cries from the Cross, and we are at the fifth of the seven utterances that Jesus uttered from the cross while he was being crucified. And this morning I open up with the words of a familiar song, and I hope that we will begin to tie this in as we go along. This is based upon Psalm 42. It says, "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy." Hear that. Only you can satisfy. "You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. This morning, we're going to look at a text, and like I said, it's the fifth out of seven utterances that Jesus stated while he was being crucified. The first three, they all focus upon the outward focus, upon the people that are there. First, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And then secondly, he begins to talk about the talk with the thief and the robber on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. The third one is he looks at his mother and he says, Behold, thy son. And then last week we saw him dealing with his relationship with God the Father when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the last three, friends, he is dealing with his needs, and I want us to understand that. Many times we view Jesus as this perfect, this holy God, and yes, that is true, that's who he is. But we also assume that he is this unapproachable deity, this unapproachable God that cannot relate to who and what we go through. And friends, there is nothing further from the truth. The last three statements that he cries from the cross are dealing with his needs. And yes, Jesus was a real man. He was fully man, fully God. And in this one statement we're going to look at today, we are going to see his humanity. We're going to see how he dealt with what he needed. And my hope and my challenge for all of us is that in our needs, in our cravings, in our longings, we would echo the song of As the Deer. I want you more than gold or silver, and only you, Jesus, can truly satisfy. Because in our life, there's many longings and there's many cravings that we all have, and we crave for various things, we long for various things, and in fact, we try to fill those things with many other elements of our world. And I'm here to share with you the elements of our world will never, ever, ever, ever truly satisfy. They will never, ever fulfill you. They will never, ever give you that completeness, that wholeness. In fact, the other is true. They will leave you wanting more and yearning for more, and they will leave you with less and less. And friends, in this one statement, it's a two-word statement that Jesus uttered, we find the essence, and I believe it's the pinnacle. It's the very basis of where you and I can meet our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the crucified Christ. It's where he can relate to you and to me, and it's where he wants you and I to relate to him. If you brought your Bibles, I hope you have. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 23 through 28. For contextual reasons, we will look at, like I said, that one statement, but for contextual reasons, we begin in verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore, the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Striking statement. Before Jesus was going to be crucified, they offered him this drink, and it was to dull the pain so that it would extend his crucifixion and it would extend his suffering. Later on, we could read that the Roman soldier took a reed and took a sponge and he put wine vinegar on that and put it up to Jesus' lips, common to our understanding of the ancient crucifixion. Jesus' feet were probably 2 to 4 feet off the ground, so this is very plausible. So you could take a reed and put it up to the mouth of the one being crucified. And that's what happened. I don't believe that Jesus was saying, I thirst. For just simply the physical thirsting. I believe personally that he was saying, I thirst, my soul thirsts. There's something going on, and we're going to unpack this. But why is this so important? This is vitally important that we understand Jesus needing things and being human as he was fully man, fully God, because we're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest, and you're talking about Christ, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Friends, it's true, we do have a great mediator, Jesus, who can relate with our weaknesses and can relate to all that we experience in this life. As I mentioned, we're going to look at the next three utterances from the cross and his needs for his physical body. The "I thirst" statement, it was a statement made from the cross that day. And Jesus, in this statement, was aligning himself with you and with me in suffering the intense pain, the anguish of being rejected by God the Father, so you and I could have access through himself. Now, Jesus experiences the intense thirst, and he cries out, "I thirst." There are three things that we need to glean from this two-word utterance, this exclamation that Jesus stated. We must understand the reality of the situation. And the reality is this: Jesus is dying. He's feeling the full anguish, the full pain, the full separation, the full isolation from God the Father, and he is incredibly going through suffering like none of us will ever know. Last week we saw that it is dark and darkness has descended over the land. It's covered the land, but it not only has covered the land, it's covered the hearts of people. The light of the world, Jesus, is fully man, as I mentioned. He's fully God, meaning he felt what we feel. He's not this ambiguous God who is out there somewhere yonder that can't relate to you and to me. He entered earth and our world. He left heaven so he could relate to you and to I. He had needs, and his physical body needed food and water just like yours and mine does. A couple quick points about water is that a person can live more than a month without food, but only about a week, depending upon conditions, without water. And Jesus is saying, "I thirst, I am thirsty, I need something to drink." Over 2/3 of the human body is made up of water, and over 3/4 of the human brain is water. A person, you and I, we must consume 2.5 quarts of water per day from all sources, both drinking and eating, to maintain proper health. Listen to this. Water regulates the earth's temperature. It also regulates the temperature of the human body. It carries nutrients and oxygen to the cells. It cushions joints. It protects organs and tissues, and it removes things from the body. Headaches can be caused by being too dehydrated. But listen to this. By the time a person feels thirsty, his or her body has lost over 1% of its total water amount. That's where Jesus is at, uttering, "I am thirsty, I thirst." He has lost so much in this suffering through the scourging and the beating and the mocking and the all that gone on, the crucifixion. He lost water, but he lost more than that. Last week we saw that he lost his close fellowship with God the Father. He lost that connection with God the Father. He himself became sin. He himself became a curse so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. And I want you and me to understand the significance of what is happening here. Jesus, the living water, he's thirsty. Don't miss that. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, in his encounter with the woman at the well, he answers her and he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So the living water is thirsty. Friends, I don't know about you, but there's no other place where you and I can fully relate to God through Christ, because you and I, we are parched every day. You and I, we are thirsty for things in this world. You and I, we are longing and we are craving for things in this life. And so when Jesus says, "I thirst," he is saying, "I understand where you're at. I understand the separation." He understands it even beyond before and even beyond what you and I will ever fully grasp. It's been said that when you combine darkness and pain, suffering and thirst, that you have the makeup and the components of hell. And this is true. This is exactly where Jesus was walking. This is where he was traveling through an extremely difficult time, just as for you and for me, just as he was doing it for you and for me, which he was. He was suspended by nails and he was fastened to a piece of wood so you and I could find peace, we could find refuge, and we could be reconciled to God the Father. The second element that we can apply and learn from is the request. We're told in verse 28 that he says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Jesus' statement, I thirst. I believe that it's not so much as a request as it is a statement. He was stating that his body and his soul were thirsting for something which could not be supplied during that moment. And let's not look at the Roman soldier and think that he had an act of compassion trying to alleviate his suffering. The Roman soldiers, their duty and their job was to give the water, to give the things to the crucified individuals to prolong their suffering. And so his act of taking the reed and the sponge and putting it to Jesus' lips, he was merely saying, I hope you suffer more. And yet Jesus says, I thirst. There's nothing here in this world that can supply than meet that need in that moment. Jesus being the living water, the one who satisfies, was feeling and he's longing for some quenching of his thirst. There's two reasons Jesus uttered such a statement. First, it was his physical body that was thirsty, and second, it was his spirit that was thirsty. I personally believe that it was for both reasons that he uttered that statement. His body and his spirit, they were longing for some quenching that Jesus stated the obvious, I thirst. The text tells us of the fulfilling of the prophecy that Jesus uttered this statement. Listen to the words Jesus was fulfilling by making such a proclamation. Psalm 22, verse 15 tells us, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. The physical thirsting, they have said that once you are thirsty, it's too late. You are already dehydrated. And so Jesus would have lost blood and water, and he would have endured the anguish and the pain and the excruciating experience. It's no wonder he's thirsty. Psalm 42 tells us, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Friends, this was Jesus, the same Jesus who quenched the thirst and the longings of all who came seeking him with a pure heart. It was the same Jesus who did miracles of healings and raising people from the dead. It was the same Jesus who stilled the wind and the waves and brought many back from being tormented. This was the same Jesus who left the presence of God the Father to come to earth so you and I could be reconciled to a holy God. And yet at this time, he utters the statement, I thirst. It was Jesus who was lacking. It was Jesus who was lacking and experiencing the same pain, the same distance, the same suffering which you and I do experience each and every day. It's through Jesus that we can come to God. It's through Jesus that we can even be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. It was Jesus, the source of why all things were created and by whom all things were created. Colossians 3:16 tells us, who longed for something, namely a drink of water. I want us to all realize, for if we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who can relate to you and me, in the basic elements of life, of food and drink, and those essential needs of being thirsty, then we have nothing. We have no atonement for sin. We have no advocate. We have no mediator. And yet Jesus on the cross, suffering and thirsting for something to fulfill and fill the void in his body and soul, he cries out, I thirst. As I mentioned, I believe this is the pinnacle where you and I can connect to Christ more than at any other point. And sometimes we look upon Jesus and we see a holy, perfect God, as I mentioned before, who can only stoop down to our weakness and meet us in our stumbling. The reality is that we have a Savior who knows what it is like to long for satisfaction in both body and soul. Jesus knows about the depth of your suffering and the depth of mine. He knows about the pain in your body and the pain in mine. He knows about the pain in your soul and the pain in mine. Jesus knows the throes of darkness, the throes of suffering, and the throes of thirst. Jesus knows how difficult life can be and is, and how it will always leave you and me longing for the complete, satisfying, thirst-quenching drink for our body and soul. You see, as I mentioned, we all have longings. We all thirst for something in this life. We all crave things which many times this world will never satisfy, and I'll say it a different way, it will never satisfy. All these cravings do is leave us more and more thirsty, more and more unsatisfied. We could have the craving of having a family. We could have the craving of having a different spouse. And yes, I said it the right way, because there are those individuals that have those cravings. We could have the craving to have a spouse. We could have the craving for a different job. We could have the craving or thirst for friends. We could have a craving for a need to be met for both our physical body and our soul. And we do have these cravings. We do have these thirsts in life. We do have these longings that we all deal with it. And let's face it, if we just break it down and if we're just brutally honest, we all deal with this. This is where life is lived. And the sad reality of it is too many times Christians, they throw on the mask, and I'm guilty as the next person, and think that and act like things are just okay. And many times the pain in our heart is severe. It's deep. We do have these thirsts in life, friends. We do have things that make us yearn for something to quench that thirst. And friends, Jesus knows. He understands. Jesus can relate, and Jesus experienced the same thing. Well, let's look at the result. What does this all mean? How does it all apply to your life and to mine? And here's where it really gets exciting for you and for me, because it's just not a mere statement of Jesus being able to relate to you and to I. There's a result here that we need to celebrate, that we need to embrace, and we need to allow God to work in our lives and hearts and souls and allow Him to work through us. If we never get to the result, then we've missed it all. We can have a great high priest and a mediator that can relate to us on all different facets and every different level, but if we never get to the result of what it means for you and for me, we've missed it all. Listen to Jesus' statement before He was crucified. John 7, verse 38. He said, "He who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his or her heart will flow rivers." Not just a trickle. Not just a cupful, rivers, plural, friends, plural, rivers. And listen to what these rivers contain, of living water. Now, there's three things that true saving belief, they will always consist of: the mental, the emotional, and the volitional. It's important that we grasp believing and what He means there. It's not just a mere mental assent and a mental application of saying Jesus is Lord, for the Scripture tells us that even the demons believe in Christ. But friends, they're not going to heaven. So true saving faith has to move from our mind of saying Jesus is Lord, and it has to go to our heart and say, "I am grieved over my sin." It has to move us, and it has to impact us. And then it has to move to the volitional, or the act of submitting our will and obeying what Christ would have for you and for me. And that's what He means when He says, "He or she who believes in Me will have rivers of flowing rivers of living water flowing out of your heart." It's incredible. That's phenomenal, because what he's saying, I will flow through you. And what we receive and what we realize is that when He is flowing through us, these cravings and these longings and these thirstings for things that this world will never satisfy, they will always be met. They will always be satisfied. In other words, Jesus is saying, "Meet with Me." He's saying, "Meet with Me. Meet Me in your time of need. Meet Me in your time of thirst. Meet Me in your longings. Meet Me in your cravings." And I'm going to just share a personal story here. There's a funny thing that happens with me. There's a lot of things that I would like to have in my life that, quite frankly, aren't in my life. I'll be brutally honest with you. And when I start getting down and I start getting, "Oh, woe is me," and yes, we all can go there, there's a funny thing that happens. I have two options. I can either look to the ways of the world and try to fill that thirsting and satisfy that longing and that craving through activity and things of this world, whether it be good or for bad. And I'm here to tell you, it gets worse. It absolutely gets worse, but an incredible thing happens is that when I take the time and bow my head and I say, Jesus, hey, I am struggling with this. You know what happens? It's gone. Because Jesus said, I thirst. He can relate to you and to me. He said, I understand. And he is saying, meet with me. You and I, we must meet with Jesus each and every day. We must meet the crucified Christ each day. And if and when we do, as I mentioned, an incredible thing happens, an amazing thing happens. Our thirsts are quenched, whatever they are. The longings of our heart, the longings of our mind, and the longings of our soul, they are fulfilled and they are satisfied. They are no more. The problem is with most people, and the problem with me as well, is that I look many times to stuff from this fallen world, and many times people do the same thing, and we hope that our thirst is quenched. And friends, only Jesus will quench your thirst and mine. Only Jesus will satisfy your soul. Only Jesus will fill you with living water. And when you and I meet with him each day, then the promise is true, that he or she who believes in Jesus Christ, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water. And those rivers are not for you and for me. They are for the other people in this parched world. They are for other people in this world that is so dry and cracked, and they're in desperate need. And so friends, you too and me, we will have rivers of living water flowing out of our hearts for a thirsty, thirsty world. And so, friends, my challenge for me, and my challenge for all of us, is to meet with Jesus and to stop looking to this world, to stop looking to other things and other places, other jobs, other relationships, other possessions, other achievements, other positions to have our cravings, our longings, our thirst to be satisfied. May we all look and meet with the crucified Christ. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, how humbling it is to know that you thirsted for us. You thirsted so that we could be satisfied. You thirsted so that our longings could be fulfilled. And you are our all in all. You are our everything. And as the songwriter says, as the deer panteth for the water, so our soul thirsts for you. And only in you, O Christ our King, are we ever truly satisfied. Only in you, not in anything else. Father, give us all the strength to meet with you. Give us the strength to seek your face in a daily way. Give us the strength to approach your grace and the throne of grace in a humble humility way. Father, glorify yourself, we pray. We love you and we thank you. And we honor you this day. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our closing song for worship today.
And shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice. Thank you.
As we close here this morning, may the God who is ready and willing and able to bless you and to fill you, may his love just encapsulate your heart and your soul. May his peace just flood you that has no understanding for friends that does not know this world. May his truth be your foundation as you walk throughout each and every day. And may his mercy adorn your heart forever and evermore. May his grace be your strength. And Father, we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, O Lord, for all that you have blessed us with. And so, my friends, as we depart, may we all depart in peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.